Hey friends, welcome to the Training Podcast. In today's episode, we start a three-week series called Preacher Training. So this is good for any lay leaders in the church who want to learn how to preach, maybe even some pastors who are trying to shore up your preaching skills. But in particular, in this Pursue God training series, which by the way, you can find at pursuegod.org/preach, we're going to be focusing on how to preach sermons based on the Pursue God discipleship resources. Okay, so this isn't just like a general how to preach series, even though we're going to get into a lot of great, helpful tips about how to do just that. But more than that, we're going to really teach you the Pursue God philosophy of ministry. We're going to help you to understand not just how to preach sermons that aren't boring, but we're going to help you to understand from our perspective what the goal of preaching should be and how a preacher fits into the overall discipleship infrastructure of the church. In other words, we're going to teach you how preaching fits into what we believe is a biblical way to approach preaching. I think too many churches over the years, over the centuries, too many churches have elevated preaching to this unhealthy place where the preacher is the only person who is doing any ministry. You know, people show up, Christians show up to church to hear a preacher preach, and they say, great job, preacher, great sermon, can't wait to come back next week to hear the next sermon. And that's kind of, I think that's how we've broken the church, to be frank. The result of that kind of preaching is Christians sitting in the pews and not doing ministry ever. Okay, so I'm going to get into this more in episode two, by the way, of this series, where I talk about the philosophy of ministry of what I'm just going to call full circle preaching, or preaching toward disciple making. And maybe this is new to you. If you're new to the Pursue God resources, that whole idea might be new to you. In fact, before I get into today's topic, which is what qualifies you to preach, I want to talk for a minute about the Pursue God resources, because maybe you're not familiar with these resources. So go check out pursuegod.org. And here's just kind of an overview of how these resources work and then how you can use these resources in your church to preach. So pursuegod.org is a podcast-based discipleship library. So that means that we use podcasts on a variety of topics to offer biblical answers to everyday questions. And then we organize these podcasts into series at pursuegod.org so that you can use them to make disciples at church, at home, or in the world. And so in particular, when it comes to preaching alongside these resources, your church is free to use any of our series, you know, to pick a series from our series library and preach your own sermon based on that series, adapt it, customize it as needed for your church, and then you have like built-in sermon-based small group curriculum, even curriculum for one-on-one discipleship curriculum, even for your families, already done for you at pursuegod.org. So pick a series, say, hey, let's do a six-week series on this. Go ahead and preach it to your church and then point people to the Pursue God resources. And all of that is free. So it's kind of like having like a discipleship curriculum team built into your preaching team, and all of it is free. Now, again, the purpose for all of this isn't just to, you know, give you easy sermons to preach. Although, I mean, you might find that some of our sermon series are interesting and engaging, and it does make your job easier as a preacher when you're planning out your preaching calendar for the year. It's so much more than that. The goal of this is to help you make more disciple makers in your church. And we'll get into that more in the next episode when we talk about the Pursue God philosophy of ministry. For today, I just want to answer the question for those of you who are coming to the series and wondering if you're even qualified to preach in the first place. So I'm going to give you today, I want to give you five questions that you should ask before you get up on stage and be a preacher. So again, this is for lay people who might be maybe you're considering teaching, or someone at your church, a pastor at your church is saying, hey, I think you could be a good preacher. Let's bring you through this training and let's see if you are, right? Or whether you're a pastor just coming out of seminary and really just getting ready to plant a church or whatever. We're going to answer this question: what qualifies you to preach from a biblical perspective? And to answer that, I want you to really be self-reflective about these five questions. Question number one is real simple, and it comes from Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And here's the question: are you connected to Jesus? You know, preaching in the early church, think about this. Preaching in the early church was a function of spending time with Jesus. It was not a function of seminary training. Now, I'm not saying that seminary training is a bad thing. I went to Wheaton College. I'm seminary trained. I'm grateful for my training. But I want you to know that if you come out of seminary with a diploma, that does not qualify you to preach. And if you do not have a diploma at a seminary, that does not disqualify you from preaching. I mean, Peter didn't have any seminary training. Paul, well, I guess you could say he did as a Pharisee, but Jesus' early disciples were fishermen and tax collectors. They were certainly not the religious elite. They did not have any formal training. And we see that in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This, of course, is, you know, after Jesus dies and rises again, teaches his disciples for 40 days, and then ascends into heaven and commissions them to start the church and start making disciples. And so they're out there in the colonnade preaching. And it says in Acts 4:13 that the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? By the way, that's the same thing that these leaders had said earlier about Jesus, that he was an ordinary guy with no special training in the scriptures. His disciples were the same way. And it says this at the end of that verse: they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Man, let that sit with you for just a second. Have you been with Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you connected to Jesus? Because listen, your preaching is only going to be effective if it's coming out of your connection to Jesus. You could be the most skilled, dynamic person in your church, but if you don't have a vital connection to Jesus, then it's going to fall flat. It's not going to, in the end, it's not going to produce the results that biblical preaching should produce. And we're going to be talking over these next few weeks about some of those qualifications and about being clear and concise and compelling. And compelling is really important. And again, you could be so compelling, you can be so dynamic and charismatic, but if you're missing your connection to Jesus, you're missing the whole point. So that means I think you should be connected to his word. I think you should be in prayer on a regular basis. Your preaching flows out of your connection to Jesus. That's the first thing. Now, the second question comes from the book of Titus, you know, where we get some qualifications for elders. And you know, a preacher, someone who gets up there and preaches on a Sunday morning or whenever you hold your services, you're essentially an elder. So you need to be qualified according to the qualifications, the biblical qualifications of an elder. And here's the question I think you should ask in general when it comes to looking at biblical qualifications for elders. The question is, are you honoring God in everyday life? Preachers are qualified by solid character and sound doctrine. And we see that in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Paul writes this to Titus. He said, I left you on the island of Crete so you could complete our work there and appoint elders in each town as I instructed you. And then he says this, an elder, remember, a preacher is an elder. An elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation for being wild or rebellious. A church leader is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money. So again, you can prayerfully consider these verses, maybe with the person who's bringing you through this training. And, you know, you can talk about exactly what that means. It doesn't mean you need to be perfect. Living a blameless life doesn't mean you need to be perfect, obviously, or none of us would preach. We'd have no preachers because we're all broken. We're all sinful. But really, it's talking about having solid character. And he goes on in verse 8, he says, rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. And then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. So again, read this verse, read this passage, and there are other passages like it as well that give us the qualifications of elders or of, you know, church leaders. And again, in my estimation, a preacher is a church leader. You don't want just anyone to be up there. I think you need to really prayerfully consider that, are you qualified from a biblical perspective to be up there and to be in that important role in your church? And again, I would put all of this under the heading of the question, are you honoring God in everyday life? It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean, you know, that you go through a list like this and you say, really, am I qualified? Because if you're not, I think you should just pause right here and say, I think I need to work on some of these things in my character. I need to work on my doctrine. I need to make sure that I understand what wholesome teaching is. I need to be ready to show people where they're wrong if they oppose biblical teaching. So it's kind of a dual qualification here. It's solid character and sound doctrine. And there's a threshold, I think, that you need to prayerfully consider, and your church leadership needs to prayerfully consider this threshold as well as they answer question number two. All right, here's the third question. Do you care about people? Because godly preachers aren't motivated by ego. You shouldn't want to get up there just to stroke your ego. You shouldn't be motivated by financial gain. But really, at the end of the day, you should be motivated by a desire to help people pursue God. You should care about people. 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 4 says it like this. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. And then verse 4, anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. Now, do you see the distinction that Paul is drawing between a person who is trying to promote a godly life, and they're not arrogant. They're doing it because they love people. Remember, Jesus himself said, you can summarize the whole law with love God and love your neighbor. So if you don't even understand the heart of the law, the heart of the Old Testament, the heart of the Ten Commandments, loving God and loving people, then you have no business being up there. I have a preacher friend who confessed this years ago to me. He said, I don't love people. I don't preach from a place of love. And you know, I think the congregation, the hearers are going to pick up on that. If you're preaching from either, you know, I think for some people, they love doctrine, they love theology, they love scripture, but they don't love people. And these are the kinds of people that I think quibble over the meaning of words. These are the people who I think argue over things that aren't worth arguing over. And maybe you know people like that, but maybe you are a person like this. If you are more in love with doctrine than you are with people, I think you should really spend some time in prayer before you consider preaching in front of a congregation. Think about all of the times that in the Gospels where you read Jesus and you read about his preaching, he always did it from a place of love for people. He spoke the truth for sure. He was a truth teller, and he wasn't afraid to tell the truth, especially to speak the truth to authority. But he always did it with people in mind. He always did it in a loving way. And I think that's how we should be as well. So godly preachers care about people. Yes, they care about truth. You don't want to sacrifice truth. We're not just preaching what people want to hear. That's not what I'm saying. But we're preaching in a way where we genuinely love people, which is what I think what Jesus modeled for us. Now, my fourth question that I think qualifies you as a preacher probably wouldn't end up on the list for most seminaries out there who are raising up and training up preachers. But when it comes to the philosophy of ministry of the Pursue God resources, this is a really important question to me personally and for my church. And the question is this, are you personally making disciples? And we'll get into this more next week when we talk about the philosophy of ministry of Pursue God preaching. But remember, I believe that the goal of preaching is to not just get a pat on the back and say, good sermon, pastor, and I'll see you next week for the next one. The goal of preaching, and I'll prove this next week, the goal of preaching is to raise up disciple makers. It's to equip people to make disciples. And so here's the thing. You can't lead someone to a place that you've never been. You can't equip somebody to make disciples if you're not making disciples. We'll get into this next week, but you know, Jesus says this in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching the new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. So if you're not even doing this in your, you know, Monday to Saturday life, if you're not discipling people on a personal level, investing in people, discipling them, leading them to faith if they're not already believers, and then leading them to maturity, teaching them to obey all of the things that Christ commanded us, and then teaching them to become disciple makers, that's what we call going full circle. You help them trust Jesus, number one. You help them honor God in their life once they become a Christian, number two. And then actually you help them to be a disciple maker, number three. So if you're not doing this, then you're not really modeling, you're not modeling something from the stage that's reproducible. You know, I do this in my own life. I disciple people. My wife and I both do this, and it comes out in my preaching. I'm talking about that all the time in my preaching. And so what's happening for my congregation is they're hearing that this is normative in a believer's life, and they want to partake in that. They want to do that. And it's contagious, just like my love for the word is contagious. My love for Jesus is contagious. Well, my desire to make disciples is contagious, and I want that to come through in my preaching. So question number four, are you personally making disciples? And if you're not, then I think you need to take care of that. I think you need to find out what that means. We've got discipleship training, disciple maker training in our library. Start making disciples in a reproducible way so that you can model what Jesus commanded his disciples, and we are his disciples, what Jesus commanded us to do. You need to model it if you're going to be up there preaching. All right, and then there's one more question, and this is, I'm saving kind of the best for last. This is kind of obvious, but I'm going to put it out there. The last question that you need to ask yourself and really be honest about is, do you have a teaching gift? Now, you might not know. You know, maybe somebody invited you to go through this training. Maybe a pastor at your church invited you to go through this training. Maybe you're a young person who's considering going into ministry, and in pastoral ministry that might include preaching, and that's why you're going through this training. And I really think you need to honestly ask this question, do you have a teaching gift? Because not everybody does. In fact, I might even just say a preaching gift. I think there's a difference between a teacher being able to teach in a small group or teach one-on-one. Everyone can disciple. That's not a gift. That's a calling. Everyone can invest in somebody else. But that's different than the gift of preaching. Not everyone is gifted in preaching, which in part is public speaking. Not everybody's good at that. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, verse 29, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? And then he comes to the end of this and he says, of course not. Of course. So he's saying it's obvious that not everyone's a preacher, that not everyone's gifted at this. We don't all have the same gift. Everyone's got different gifts. We function within the body. Now, again, I think your leadership of your church needs to decide what the threshold is for the teaching gift. If it's a smaller church, if it's a house church, maybe that threshold is a little bit lower. But if it's a larger church, that threshold, that's important. You know, I think you don't want just anybody up there teaching because it's going to impact the feel of the church. It's going to impact the desire for, you know, the people on the fringe to come back, for the seekers to come back. This isn't a question that you want to ask the core committed owners of your church, the two dozen people that are going to show up no matter what, because this is their family and they're bought in. You know, they're going to encourage anyone up there after a sermon, great job, keep working on it, he did a good job. Those are the people that are going to keep coming back. But if you go to a church, if your church has a philosophy of ministry where the Sunday morning services are sort of gateway services, which is what my church has, that we really believe that we want to be careful about who we have up there on stage preaching. There's a minimum threshold to make sure that they have a teaching gift so that people want to keep coming back. That's important. That's important to us. Again, your church can make the decision what that threshold is, but I think we have to acknowledge that there is such a thing as a preaching gift. You're not going to let just anybody get up there. So you need to ask yourself, do I have that gift? And we're going to help you with this in this series. In lesson three of this series, we're going to give you some really practical tips on how to preach and develop your preaching. We're going to give you a link to a book that we're going to recommend that you continue to read. But the point is, not everybody is gifted at preaching. And I think what you need to determine over time is, do you have that gift? And that doesn't mean that you don't work on it. If you're gifted at this, if you have the potential at this, you still need to work on it. You still need to hone that gift. And I think if you do, then the church will be blessed. The kingdom of God will advance, which is what we're doing when we preach. We're trying to advance the kingdom of God. So are you qualified to preach? That's what I want to encourage you to consider now with these five questions. Let me just summarize them again. Number one, are you connected to Jesus? Number two, are you honoring God in everyday life? Number three, do you care about people? Number four, are you personally making disciples? And number five, do you have a preaching gift? Talk about these questions with the person who's bringing you through this series, and you can find it all online at pursuegod.org/preach. And then I look forward to having you join me in the next episode when we're going to talk about the Pursue God philosophy of ministry. We're going to talk about this full circle preaching philosophy that comes from Matthew chapter 9, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to take a deep dive on some of this scripture to make sure that we're thinking correctly about the role of preaching in the local church.